seated. All right, thank you. May be seated. Thank you. All right, open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. Thank you. Open your Bibles. All right, open your Bible. Thank you. I appreciate your enthusiasm. Open your Bible to 2 Chronicles chapter 31, please. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And I'm going to move this mic. Is that okay if I move that one? This other one I assume is on. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And when you find that place in your Bible, I'm going to ask you to hold it with your finger or stick a pen in there or something, a piece of paper. We'll come back to it later. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Mark that place in your Bible. And then if you would, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to begin Ecclesiastes 11. And if time allows, we'll come back to 2 Chronicles 31 later. We're going to begin in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 6 says, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." This verse is telling us that we should work hard in the morning because we don't know for sure. God may bless what we do in the morning. It's telling us we should also work hard in the evening because we do not know for sure, but God may bless what we do in the evening. In other words, this verse is telling us that what I do in the morning is important and what I do in the evening is important because God may bless both of them. You don't need to turn to it, but Psalm 55 says, "Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. In their day began in the evening and ended in the late afternoon." And David was saying, what I do in the evening is important enough, I'm going to pray about it. He said, what I do in the morning is important enough, I'm going to pray about it. He said, what I do at noon or beginning at noon throughout the afternoon is important enough, I'm going to pray about it. In other words, David was saying, what I do in the evening is important. What I do in the morning is important. What I do in the afternoon is important. Paul told the folks in Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. Paul said, everything you do is important enough that you ought to pray about it. In 2 Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, "I thank God that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." Paul was saying to Timothy, "Timothy, I left you there to do something, and what I left you to do is so important that I'm going to pray for you while you do it in the daytime, but I'm going to also pray for you for what you do at night." In Psalm 1, 2, we read, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we read, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Paul said to the folks in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians, he said, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day." Speaking about Jesus, the Bible says, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God." And he must needs go through Samaria. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Jesus, speaking about himself, he said, "Nevertheless, I must." What's he going to say? The very Son of God. If Jesus himself says, "Nevertheless, I must." What's he going to say? I must preach. I must teach. I must heal the sick. I must raise the dead. I must suffer. I must die. I must do the will of my Father. What is he going to say? He said, "Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following." To Jesus, even when he just had somewhere to walk, it was, "I must walk." Not, "I reckon I will if I get around to it." Not, "I'm going to wander over yonder if I have a chance." It was, "I must walk today, tomorrow, and the day after." He said, "I must be about my Father's business. I must preach. He must needs go through Samaria. I must abide at thy house. He must go unto Jerusalem. The Son of Man must suffer many things. I must walk today and tomorrow and the day after." And we need at Howells Anderson College some Sunday school teachers who say, "I must be prepared when I teach my class on Sunday morning." We need some bus captains who say, "I must build a bus route and reach some boys and girls for Christ." We need some drivers who say, "I must drive my bus every Sunday." We need some soul winners who say, "I must put converts in the baptistry." We need mothers and fathers who someday graduate from here and get married and become mothers and fathers who say, "I must train my children to love God." We need some husbands, some students who become husbands who someday say, "I must love my wife." We need some graduates who someday pastor a church and say, "I must build a church and reach an area for Christ." We need some students who say, "I must walk with God and have His power on my life." Years ago, I was asked to speak on one particular occasion on this subject. I was asked to speak on the one thing that I had learned from Brother Hiles that was the most important. So I gave it some thought. What was the one thing I learned from Brother Hiles that was the most important? Of all the things that he ever tried to teach me, and if any older preacher ever tried his best to teach a young preacher, it was Brother Hiles. And I wondered, what would it be? You know, I heard him preach over 3,400 times in person. I heard him teach hundreds and hundreds of times in person. I read something he wrote nearly every day of my life for 26 years. For 24 years, I met with him 9 times a week in various staff and administrative meetings. I averaged asking him 50 questions a week. I would go to 9 different meetings, and every meeting I would have typed out questions that my secretary had typed out for me that I needed to ask him, with a little space left between for me to write the answer. In my files, in my storage room, I have over 67,600 questions that I asked him and wrote down the answer. And I wondered, what would it be? What would be the one thing that he taught me that was the most important? And after giving it some thought, I finally came to the conclusion, I can't speak on the subject, the one thing that was the most important. Because to Brother Hiles, everything was important. Every sermon he ever preached was important. I remember I was with him in a conference one time in a church that would seat about 350. And Monday night, the building was packed. There were people standing in the back with the doors open. There were folks outside listening through the windows. He preached, he romped, he stomped, he climbed over some pews, he walked on top of the banister of the choir loft. He was wringing wet with sweat when he finished preaching. He gave the invitation. Heaven came down. The altars were full. The same thing happened Tuesday night. Building was packed, people standing in the back. He preached, he romped, he stomped, he yelled, he beat on the pulpit. He was wringing wet with sweat. He gave the invitation. The altars were full. But Monday night, after the service, The pastor got up and announced, tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, we're going to have a special session just for people who are in a certain, and he described, segment of the full-time Christian service. No one else is welcome. Only those people can come. We showed up Tuesday morning at that auditorium, seated 350. There were 17 people sitting right over here in this section on the first two rows. And I remember I walked in with him and I sat down on the third row and I counted the number of people on the first two rows. And I thought to myself, now let's see what he does. And he came up in the choir loft and he got that little thing that the choir director uses sometimes. You put your music on, and he brought one of those over there and he set it down right in front of those 17 people. He opened his Bible up and he began to romp and stomp. He climbed up on the front row. He got up in the choir loft and walked around on the chairs for a while. He ran up and down the aisle. He preached and he yelled and he screamed and he was wringing wet with sweat. To Brother Hiles, every sermon was important. Every staff meeting was urgent. Believe me, I found out by being late one day. Every service was vital to him. Every person we dealt with was important. Every problem we faced was a crisis. Every wedding was special. Every funeral. He spent 4 hours preparing every funeral message he ever preached, a minimum of 4 hours. He would go to a place where he and that person had done something together, and he would relive what he and that person had done together before he would preach the funeral message. I remember one time we had a man in at our rescue mission. I never knew his name. We all just called him Old Joe. Old Joe grew up in Hammond. He was a basketball star at Hammond High. He was real well known in the newspaper quite a bit. But after he graduated from high school, he began to drink and he became an alcoholic and he drifted in and out of our rescue mission many times through the years. One time while he was at our rescue mission, Brother Hiles needed a ride to church. They gave Old Joe the keys to the van. They sent him out to Brother Hiles' house to pick him up. On the way back to the church, they stopped at a 7-Eleven and got Coke and sat in the parking lot and drank those Cokes and talked to each other. And the day came when they found Old Joe frozen to death in an abandoned building a few buildings down from our church. City Hall called Brother Hiles and said, we found this body. We believe it's Joe. And they said the name. And we understand that your church cared about him. We wondered if you might want to have some type of a funeral for him. And so Brother Hiles did. He personally paid for the funeral. He prepared his message. Before the funeral, he got in his car. He drove down to the 7-Eleven. He went in and bought a Coke. He came out and sat in the parking lot and drank that Coke and thought about the time that he spent with Old Joe. And he got up that day and preached to about 12 people in our church. And he preached a full message at Joe's funeral. To Brother Hiles, every funeral was important. To Brother Hiles, every pastor's school was life or death. I remember the first year I joined the staff of the First Baptist Church, about 3 months before pastor school, Brother Hiles got us together in a Sunday school class. I happened to be sitting on the back row, and he said, folks, this year pastor school is more important than any pastor school we've ever conducted. At the time, I think it was about the 17th one they had conducted. And I remember sitting on the back row thinking, wow. Of all years to get to join the staff of First Baptist Church, I happened to get to join the very year that pastor school is the most important one. And he said, folks, I need you to do your very best to make everything about pastor school exactly what it ought to be. He said, America's coming to visit us, and they need us, and they need to see an example of how to build a church. And he said, I need you to work hard and do your best. And boy, I remember that Sunday morning before pastor school was to start on Monday. I got up about 3:30 in the morning, and I went out to the bus garage, and I got the keys out, and I got ready to give the buses to the drivers, and we ran the buses, and I preached junior church that day and got the bus kids back home, and we had 7,000 or 8,000 on the buses that day. And I worked all night Sunday night getting ready for some things for pastor school, and worked all day Monday, and went to the service Monday night. And I remember got home Monday night about 11 o'clock. It was the first time I'd been back in my house since about 3:30 Sunday morning. First time I'd been to sleep. And I remember as I fell asleep thinking, wow, what a privilege to get to be in on the staff of First Baptist Church Hammond, the one year that pastor school was the most important. The next year, about 3 months before pastor school, Brother Hiles got the church staff together in the same Sunday school classroom. I happened to be sitting on the back row again. And Brother Hiles said, folks, I want you to know that this year pastor school is more important than it's ever been before. He said, more important than it was last year. He said, America needs us more this year than it's ever needed us before. He said, and this is the phrase he often used, remember him using this phrase, the old ship's about to go down. And if we don't do something, America's not going to survive. He said, whatever you did last year for pastor school, I need you to work harder. Whatever you did in your ministry last year, I need you to give it more than you ever gave it before. And so I remember I got up about 3:30 Sunday morning. I got the buses out. I ran the buses. I preached at junior church. Got the kids home. Went to the service that night. Worked all night Sunday night getting ready for pastor school. Worked all day Monday getting ready for pastor school. Had planned to go home Monday night after the service, but something went wrong and I had to work all night Monday night. I worked all day Tuesday in pastor school. Tuesday night after the service, I remember getting home. The first time I'd been asleep since Sunday morning at 3:30. I laid down that night on Tuesday night and I thought, boy, praise the Lord, 2 years in a row, the most important pastor school in the world, and I got to be there. The next year, about 3 months before pastor school, Brother Hiles got us all together in the same Sunday school class. He said, folks, I've been traveling America this year. He said, I'm more burdened for America now than I ever have been. He said, America's in worse shape today than it's ever been before. He said, America needs a First Baptist Church and pastor school like it's never needed it before. He said, if you've ever given it your all, I need you to give it your all this year. I need you to do your very best. I got up about 3:30 Sunday morning. I ran the buses all day. I worked all night Sunday night. I worked all day Monday, all night Monday night, all day Tuesday. Planned to go home after the service. Tuesday night, something went wrong. I worked all night Tuesday night. I worked all day Wednesday. Wednesday night, I hadn't been in bed since Sunday morning. Hadn't closed my eyes to sleep 1 second since Sunday morning at 3:30. Wednesday night, the pastor school service, the auditorium was packed. Brother Howes was going to preach. Larry Bullard and I were sitting in these two chairs, one right there and one right there. And at the beginning of his message, Brother Hiles said, Larry, you and Ray come up here and help me illustrate this. And I thought to myself, praise the Lord, I get to stand up while he's preaching and maybe I won't fall asleep now. And so he had us act out this little skit and do something in his sermon. And about halfway through his sermon, he said, okay, fellas, you can go sit down now. I went and sat down. Larry Bullard was standing right here. He had been up since Sunday morning also, just like me. And Larry Bullard was standing there just like this. Brother Howell said, Larry, you can go sit down now. Brother Howell said, Larry, what are you doing? And I grabbed his coat and I yanked on. I said, Larry, come sit down. He went over and sat down beside me. He said, I fell asleep standing up. Wednesday night after the service, I went to bed and I thought, boy, praise God, 3 years in a row, I got to be here for the most important pastor school ever. The next year, about 3 months before pastor school, Brother Hiles got us in the same Sunday school classroom. He said, folks, I want you to know this is the most important pastor. And I thought to myself, I've heard this song before. To Brother Hiles, every school year was the most important one we'd ever conducted. To Brother Hiles, every class he taught was life-changing. So this morning, I'm speaking on this subject. To him, everything was important. Well, who are you talking about, Brother Ray? You're talking about Brother Hiles or you're talking about Jesus? Well, at least in this one area, they reminded me a lot of each other. So the question comes this morning, who has the most important job? Who has the most important job at First Baptist Church? Who has the most important job at Hiles Anderson College? Who has the most important job at the church that you serve in? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that when it's time to open the door and it's time for people to come in and it's time for people to conduct classes and go to Sunday school and preach services and have the lights on and the air just right, the janitor has the most important job in that church. Well, you say, who has the most important job? When it comes time to greet the people at the front door, the greeter has the most important job in the church. In fact, on Sunday morning at your church, the greeter at the front door has a more important job than the mayor has a more important job than the senator has, more important job than the governor has, a more important job than the president has. When it comes time to play the prelude, the pianist has the most important job. When it comes time to lead the singing, the song leader has the most important job. When it comes time to take up the offering, the usher has the most important job. When it comes time to play the offertory, the organist has the most important job. When it comes time to preach, right this minute, I have the most important job at Hiles Anderson College. My job's more important than the president's job. My job's more important than the governor's job. My job's more important than any other job in this county, in this state right now, because it's my turn to do what I'm supposed to do for God. Your job ought to be the most important job on this campus. Your job ought to be the most important job at First Baptist Church this coming Sunday morning. Every job we do for Christ is important. Hey, if it's not, let's just all go fishing. Hey, if it's not, let's all just learn how to work a career and make some money. Every task you perform should be important. Brother Ray, are you trying to say that little bus route I run is important? Yes, sir. Are you trying to say that little Sunday school class I teach is important? Yes, ma'am. In fact, when you stand to teach that Sunday school class in front of those boys and girls with the eternal Word of God in your hand, what you have to say to those boys and girls is more important than what any president has said to any speech in America. Well, Brother Ray, are you trying to say the way I work on my job is important? It sure is. Are you saying paying my bills on time is important? Yes, it is. Every test I take is important? Yes, it is. Every assignment I do is important? Yes, it is. My prayer life is important? Yes, it is. My reading my Bible is important? Yes, it is. My relationship with my family? Yes, it is. My dating life? Yes, it is. Cleaning my room, going soul winning, having converts in the baptistry, cleaning your fingernails, shining your shoes, ironing your shirt, tying your tie. Everything you do should be important. But Brother Ray, which one's the most important? The reason we ask that question is because we're lazy. We're hoping that someday somebody will finally tell us that the one thing we enjoy doing the most is the most important, and so we just take the easy way out and do that one thing. But everything is important at its scheduled time and place. If something's not quite as important as something else, then don't give it as much time in your schedule. But during the time you're scheduled to do that one thing ought to be the most important thing in the whole world. My dad always said, anything worth doing is worth doing right the first time. You know, when Billy Sunday came to town and put some sawdust on the ground and built some benches with his own hands and helped build a tabernacle, Billy Sunday thought his job was a big job. When D.L. Moody got a wagon and pulled it with some horses around North Chicago and picked up some boys and girls and rolled some beer kegs out of the dance hall and mopped up the beer suds from Saturday night and had a Sunday school class on Sunday afternoon, he thought his job was a big job. When John R. Rice started a little four-page newspaper in the garage of his house, he thought his job was a big job. When Kevin Wynn went to Mexico City and started knocking on doors and building a church, he thought his job was a big job. When Bruce Goddard went to the deserts of California and set up a tent and conducted a church that was averaging over several thousand, I don't know how many, but under a tent for 7 years, he thought his job was a big job. When Rick Martin went to the Philippines and began to build a church and start a college, he thought his job was a big job. By the way, they thought their job was more important than golf every Monday morning. They thought their job was more important than four or five hunting and fishing trips a year. They thought their job was more important than one or two or 3 days off every week. They thought their job was more important than 3 or 4 weeks of vacation every year. They thought their job was more important than sleeping to 6 o'clock every morning. They thought their job was more important than showing up late. They thought their job was more important than showing up unprepared. Turn, if you would, to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31, I'm going to read two verses. Second Chronicles 31, verse 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments, to seek his God, notice this phrase, he did it with his whole, with all his heart, and prospered. Isn't it amazing how many times God happens to choose to bless the person who works hard? You know, why did God bless so-and-so? Well, it's just up to God to choose who he wants to bless. And it's all by grace, and I agree with that statement, but because none of us deserve anything. But it's all up to God. If God chooses to bless, he will. But it just amazes me how many times God just happens to choose to bless the person who works real hard. I love what Russell Anderson said. Russell Anderson said, a man makes a living from 9 to 5, a man becomes a success from 5 to 9. When it said that Hezekiah did all that he did with all his heart and prospered, that statement describes the Lee Robertson that I knew. That statement describes the Tom Malone that I knew. That statement describes the John R. Rice that I knew. That statement describes the Wally Beebe that I knew. That statement describes the Jack Hiles that I knew. That statement describes the Curtis Hudson that I knew. That statement describes the Russell Anderson that I know. That statement describes the Rick Martin that I know, the Bruce Goddard that I know, the Doug Fisher that I know, the John Wilkerson that I know, the John Francis that I know, the Todd Pointer that I know, the David Gibbs that I know, the Kevin Wynn that I know. I ask you this morning, is it important to build a Sunday school class? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Is it important to drive a bus? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Is it important to build a bus route? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Is it important to lead the singing? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Is it important to play the piano? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Is it important to be the greeter? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Is it important to be an usher? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Is it important to be a wife? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Is it important to be a father? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Is it important to be a husband? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Is it important to be a mother? Is it important to be a preacher? If it is, let's treat it like it is. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I ask you this morning, is the job you're doing for God important enough to treat it like it is? Is the job you're doing for God important enough to treat it like it is? Is the ministry that you're going to serve in for the rest of your life important enough to treat it like it is? And by the way, you won't suddenly have spoofle dust sprinkled on you at graduation where your whole attitude changes and now everything is important. I ask you this morning, is it important to clean your room? Is it important to shine your shoes? Is it important to pray? Is it important to read your Bible? Is it important to go to class? Is it important to do your assignments? Is it important to do your outside reading? Is it important to go soul winning? Is it important to pay your tithe? Is it important to win folks to Christ? Is it important to disciple people? Is it important to do whatever it is you do for God? If it's not, then let's just find something else to do. But since it is, let's treat it like it is.